access buildings even without a warrant, and that campus affiliates, quote, should not interfere if that's the case, under sort of exigent circumstances, as the school calls them. And so there's already this sort of shifting in rhetoric from Trump in his first term to Trump in his second term from the Columbia's point of view. And you can see that manifesting in what we've seen this weekend. And as the professor has said, with reports of more ICE and DHS presence even up to today.
And Prem Tucker, the firing of, the forcing out of the professor, law professor, Catherine Franke, we just have 30 seconds. This also coming within this period. She was a law professor for almost a quarter of a century at Columbia.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I believe the firing of Professor Catherine Franke, you can see more about that in our Zateo Town Hall today with her, actually. She is amongst an array of sort of victims, people caught up in the crossfire of being targeted, as Professor Hawley said, for this right-wing attack on academic freedom, on institutions, on free speech, on the ability for professors to advocate for their students, to express their own free speech rights, to speak out against war, to speak out on behalf of Palestinians. And this is only a sort of broader sort of warning sign of what's to come if there is not an organized, coherent opposition.
We're going to have to leave it there, Prem Tucker. I want to thank you so much for being with us. Political correspondent comments for Zateo. We'll link to your articles. And Professor Hawley, thanks so much for joining us.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO. Portland, no compromise in defense of the truth.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The nominating committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
You're listening to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills Volume 4 Special Programming Campaign. Check out all the great special programs we're bringing you now through April 15th at kboo.fm/ATNF4.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.fm. Today is Monday, the 10th of March, 2025. It is 8:01 a.m. I am Cecil Prescott, and I will be your host this morning. Now, I have a question. Those of you who were listening to the promos just before this broadcast began live, there's a promo about someone came on and said whenever they're in Portland or in Oregon, or in Portland, I think it said, they listen to KBOO. Now, the person identified themselves as Judy Berry. Now, I'm sure when Judy Berry was in Portland, they listened to KBOO. But Judy Berry died almost 30 years ago. So how is she listening? I don't know. Maybe you might have some idea. If so, give us a call and call us from wherever you are, Judy, and we will take your call. 503-231-8187. But Judy Berry, an environmentalist and activist, a labor organizer, who did enormous things. And so we remember you and the work that you did, and how others are continuing your work. Thank you, Judy Barry. And thank all of you who are participants of this community. There's so much that's going on, and it is so important that we remain connected, whether we are on this plane or elsewhere, wherever Judy Barry might be. But we remain connected, and we remain determined to continue the struggle for many, many things. I would like to begin this morning by just highlighting three things I want to mention, and perhaps, and would like your thoughts, your ideas, your reflections. So this weekend, this has been a very important weekend in many ways. March 7th was the anniversary, the 60th anniversary of what is known as Bloody Sunday. The march in Selma, Alabama, for voting rights that took place 60 years ago. Many of us are familiar with that, and I'll share some of the background a little bit later on. But what occurred were nonviolent protesters who were advocating for voting rights and also recalling and advocating for justice for Jimmie Lee Jackson, who was killed a few days before. And they, as they approached the bridge on the way to the Capitol, armed forces came and attacked them, and many people were injured. But one thing that was fascinating about that attack was that it was at a time when many Americans in the United States began to have television. Most Americans at that time had televisions, and many Americans were sitting in their living rooms watching a program about the Holocaust. And this broadcast came on about the beatings in Selma, Alabama, and Americans gave a universal outcry about this ugliness that was happening, that they were witnessing on television of nonviolent protesters being beaten because they were exercising their rights to petition their government. That mobilized many, many hundreds of people. People gathered from many parts of the country to say, well, this march will go on. And the march did go on week later, with thousands of people gathered, hundreds of people gathered to continue that march. So that's an anniversary of people, ordinary folks, ordinary people, exercising their rights to protest, their right to assemble, their right to speak, and they sought to petition their government to grant them voting rights. So we'll talk more about that and reflect about that and the legacy of that. March 8th, many of you know, is International Women's Day, and there were actions throughout the world highlighting the history, the role, the challenges, the things that women face in this world today. There were actions all over, and that's something that we will continue to talk about how people are bearing witness to the need for justice for women throughout the world. We'll talk more about that. But just note that March 8th, International Women's Day, and this month is Women's History Month, we recall. And one-third, today is March 10th, which is recognized in many places as Harriet Tubman Day. On this day in 1913, Harriet Tubman died. She was an abolitionist, freedom fighter, one of the most famous conductors of the Underground Railroad. She was born enslaved in Maryland. She escaped in 1849 and dedicated her life to leading others to freedom, making at least 13 daring missions to rescue enslaved individuals. Just think about that for a moment. Someone who struggled, who gained their own freedom, and then took it upon themselves to try to help other people escape slavery. And during the Civil War, she served as a Union spy, nurse, and scout, even leading a military raid that freed over 700 enslaved people. A woman leading men in battle. Just think about that. After the war, she continued to fight for justice, advocating for women's suffrage, and helping formerly enslaved people to rebuild their lives. And so on this day, March 13th, in 1913, in Auburn, New York, at approximately age 91, because we can only estimate her age, those who were enslaved, records were not kept. But in recognition of her lifelong dedication freedom and equality, March 10th is now observed as Harriet Tubman Day in many places in the United States. So those are things that I wanted to remind ourselves of who we are as a people. We've heard so much on the news about how the federal government has warped and changed, and maybe just manifesting for all the true nature of this government of this country. Nevertheless, there have been and there continue to be people who hold on to the, shall we say, dream of the American experiment and the aspiration of justice for all and the ever expansion notion of what does it mean to live in a place where all have the opportunity and have the ability to be their own true selves. That is certainly the dream and the destiny and the goal of many people who are struggling. And so in these days when so many of these rights, these struggles are being denied or being turned down, being swept aside, it is important to acknowledge those who continue to struggle for freedom and justice for all. So on this this day, I want to acknowledge and celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Selma March and talk more about who were those people and why did they do that? Also, International Women's Day this past weekend and this month, International Women's History Month. And today, March 10th, Harriet Tubman Day, in which we celebrate the life and legacy of this freedom fighter, Harriet Tubman. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Give us a call and let us know some of your thoughts. And let's go to our caller. Okay, let's go to Santiago. Santiago, good morning.
Hi, dude. Good morning, Cecil. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well, brother. I'm doing well. It's great to read about the civil rights struggle, but the one thing that I struggle with the way that it's portrayed, and you know, and it's not really a new thing, but I think more people should know that, you know, along with, you know, that it was a struggle that was driven by socialism. While, you know, some of the foremost, like Bayard Rustin and a really young John Lewis, A. Philip Randolph were some of the leading voices at the time, and even a young Stokely Carmichael.
Yes.
You know, these are people who were essentially written out of history, because to discuss them is to actually grapple with the material reality of the civil rights movement. You know, it's become co-opted and idealized to the point to where, like, we're told that, you know, we need to behave like those peaceful civil rights leaders, when in reality, you know, it's like of course everybody knows, you know, Dr. King. And people think that, like, you know, he died after he died for America's sins after the "I Have a Dream" speech. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. You know, and but like, he lived for another 5 years, and one of his most scathing critiques was the presentation at the Riverside Church, where he called America the greatest purveyor of violence in the entire world.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, we gloss over that socialist aspect because we want to believe that, you know, that he was a true American and that he was fighting for the rights of others. But at the end of the day, while he was, it was driven by a clear delineation of working class politics with an emphasis on blackness, because, you know, that's his understanding. That was his reality.
Right.
And you know, and he eventually, you know, and he even talked about the idea that the dream that he had, that it was turning into a nightmare, and that he felt he had assimilated his people. He had desegregated his people into a burning building.
Burning building, yeah. And also what you mentioned in terms of the civil rights movement, but in terms of the socialist origins of many of those, but also quite clearly, Martin King saw himself as a socialist. So,
yes, he said that what he believed, he saw himself a lot closer to what you would consider a communist or a socialist. Absolutely. And, you know, he talked about the revolutionary spirit of the young people very often. And while he was dedicated to nonviolence, as he grew closer to the time of his death, he'd become more and more radicalized. And that's why he was killed, you know, with the sanitation workers strike, because like Fred Hampton, he had found a way to cross class lines and unite people on a material basis that people could look at. And I think that's something we really need to take to heart right now as a people who are struggling to find a footing in this early fascist regime.
Yes.
Is that, you know, they're able to have the control that they have because they tell a simple story with good guys and bad guys. And and because people have been prompted through the pain of poverty and demoralization, you know, from not being able to live a fulfilling life, they fall into these pitfalls with these strong men that have no answer for them except to cause violence to their neighbors.
Yes, yes.
But one more thing, you know, International Women's Day is actually, it was started by socialists, it's known as International Working Women's Day, which we definitely need to put an emphasis on, because it was about talking about, like, working class women, we got to separate the idea of working class women from, like, you know, or intersectional feminism, if you to use a more current term, from the sort of white feminism or the girl boss feminism that's so pervasive in our culture.
Right.
You know, it's like, yes. we want to celebrate, the contribution of working women is important, but it's also important to point out women who weaponize their, you know, like a lot of other oppressed classes, people who weaponize their womanhood in order to continue to oppress other women.
Right.
You know, I think that's really important to point out. But anyway, I really appreciate the topic this morning, and just, you know, I just want to see people be encouraged and to try and find a way to truly see ourselves in this moment in a way that is, you know, that's speaking truth, you know, to power and causing us to act in a way that is, that is befitting of our circumstances, not to sit around and wait for our help from above, you know, from our corporately captured Congress people, but that we have the ability to make the change. We need to take hold of that.
That's so true. So true. Hey, thank you so much, Santiago, and reminding us of the true origins of movements and struggles. Take care.
Absolutely.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. We just listened to Santiago, who called and gave honor and respect to the movements that preceded where we are today and honor the true legacy of movements, the women's movement and civil rights movement and the socialist origins of many of its leaders and its philosophy and the emphasis on working people. Our numbers again, 503-231-8187. Let's hear what Janet has to say this morning. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. I just want to say that Santiago is just incredibly spot on. And I'm just thinking he's articulate and covered like a mass of everything I've been feeling, that he merged all that together. For myself, I have that picture of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X standing together.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother worked at the shirtwaist factory. My grandfather was in the tailor's union. Mm-hmm. My mother learned how to make a bed from Eleanor Roosevelt. And I think packing it all together, Eleanor Roosevelt, she was like a really anti-war person, and she pushed her husband in, yes, the right way about the Jewish people and all these different types of situations that she really made the big difference. And comparatively, we have someone like Melania Trump. I thought the way Eleanor Roosevelt would set a precedence and kind of be mentor, discipled the young people to go in the right direction with integrity and care about humanity altogether. Mm-hmm. Then we have Melania showing up with a jacket that says, "I don't care," that she paid like probably thousands of dollars. And the book that I had written, I have written a couple little, one second coloring book, Libby and the Torchbearers, with a lot of pictures, folk pictures that my students did of the Statue of Liberty. I have had a funny statement about the lightning that has sparked up with the actual Statue of Liberty where my grandparents were on Ellis Island. I kind of make a little funny little saga about it jumping over here to Deer Island by Scappoose and what all the kids are doing out here.
Sure.
And I thought I really would like to do some kind of sequel to how the kids can still be fired up and not really pushed down by the Cop City kind of things that are arising everywhere. And Santiago, the way he was able to merge the class problems to me was really scintillating, wonderful, so important.
Yes,
I even think that's so important to recognize that, and we really need to break down on the, you know, divide and conquer strategies that are going on So nice people who are hardworking people that become filled with hate and anger towards other people who are dealing with the same class issues as them is just like so bizarre, and it just rattles me. It makes me think about this movie I saw when my daughter was three called King of Hearts, where the in France in the war leveled the whole country, and the people from the mental hospital got out and ran the city, because it's just like so bizarre the way the insanity and blood curdling insanity, where bloodlust becomes the regular kind of thing.
Yeah, and the inmates are running. The inmates are mm-hmm. running the asylum. You're correct.
No, yeah. Well, thank you so much for airing all this.
Hey, thank you so much, and thank you for your work and inspiration, and also keeping the dream alive. Thank you, Janet.
Right on.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And that was Janet, who was sharing some of their thoughts about some of the things that she has done. And also among the things that I received from her this morning is her willingness to work with others, to work with young people. I think it's so important these days to acknowledge and to share what we have with those around us. It's, you know, going back to our first call at Santiago, it's not so much a history lesson about, oh, these are great people from decades ago and they are powerful. I think the lesson we get, and thank you for Santiago for emphasizing this, is that many of these struggles, all of these struggles, are led by ordinary people, working people. And eventually we say, this is not the life we seek, this is not the life we want, we have to make a change. And so there comes a time when those who are oppressed gather together and find ways in which to unite, to overcome their differences and to say that we have more in common together than differences. And how do we attack, how do we resist this menace that we face, which is so prevalent, and it's clear that it will not go away if we ignore it. So what are we doing, and what lessons can we gain from those who went before us? So going back to Bloody Sunday, among the things that's amazing about that, and in terms of a movement everywhere, and we can find similarities with resistance movement today, is that it ordinary people in their communities standing up and saying, this is how we will resist, this is how we will stand up for our rights. We can go back to those movements and read about those movements and find the similarity. So I think we don't do this just to look back and say, oh, those were the glory days, or those were times when people knew how to knew clearly what was right and what was wrong. I am of the opinion that we are always in a very confused, mixed state, and that there have always been people who have been able to stand up and say, we will resist. And that, I think, is a lesson from International Women's Day. As reminded, it's about working women, about ordinary women. It's about those who are often oppressed and how they resist. So those are the lessons I think that we can gain from reviewing history, if we take the time to actually read history and to review history. So what are some of your thoughts about this, and what are some of your inspirations as we talk about these things, and as we talk about moving on forward in these perilous times, who are those who bear witness to justice today? We talked about Selma 60 years ago, and some of those who were leading the march. Return to the Pettus Bridge. This time, 60 years later, some of them in wheelchairs, but yet determined that they continue to struggle. So who are those who are bearing witness today? We mentioned today is Harriet Tubman Day, a woman who was a freedom fighter and who continue to struggle for freedom for others. Who bears witness? Give us a call, 503-231-8187. Let's hear from our next caller, Miss Jen. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Prescott. I first want to say that I've just started listening to Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he should have his own show, and if he does, I would love to be on it. Okay. He has educated this community in areas that this community needs to be educated in. I just moved to Portland recently, late last year,
mm-hmm.
and I started listening to your show, I think, just a few months ago. And every time Santiago comes on, I feel like he's enlightening. Not just me, but everyone.
Yes.
I am a poet from San Diego.
Oh.
I lived there a couple of decades. And I also lived on the coast, seaside, for about a decade.
Yeah.
I want to make a comment. I'm a poet. My work, let me just say this. My work is up at Western Washington University.
Okay.
From 2006 to 2009. And I won a few poetry awards in other places. I'm part of the International Society of Poets, and I did win a Silver Bowl for some of my award-winning poems.
Oh, wow.
However, I also want to mention that I'm a matrilinealist,
mm-hmm.
and eco-theologist and eschatologist. You want me to break that down?
Yes, yes. you raised my eyebrow. Okay, please.
My delight. Matrilinealist means simply mom's first, mother's first,
yes.
beginning with the earth. And I heard you talk about Judy Berry, and thank you for making that point. Equal theologist means the earth is our church.
Mm.
And eschatologist means I've been studying the words of the prophets. A lot of people don't realize that almost 80% of the prophets of the Bible are of African descent, African black descent. And in terms of holy blackness, our people had the very first empire, planetary empire. We were all over this planet, and that was recognized by the prophet Daniel when he was interpreting the Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the golden head and the silver breast, the bronze, and then the iron. Mm. The golden head was the rule of the African people throughout the planet. In fact, if you look on Google and type in Black Madonnas of Europe, you can get a listing of at least 400 Black Madonnas. African people were in Europe, and this that's another conversation, because I've studied this for so long. There's so many amazing things that African people have done for this planet. And I have about 50 of those Black Madonnas that are typed out, printed out in color. I'm going to get laminated because I came here to open up a museum of Black history. And so that's what I'm trying to organize right now. I have about a 40-year collection of artifacts from various places around the world.
Wow.
But I'd like for your audience members to go on the website and type in Black Madonnas of Europe.
Yeah.
And they're going to be shocked at the number of European countries that had black Madonnas and still have black Madonnas. Mm-hmm. And so that also proves the point that Christ was a black African man. Now, the point, the reason I called in and the point that you made about Harriet Tubman, I used to have a bookstore in San Diego, uh-huh. and so I read Harriet Tubman's autobiography, and a lot of people are aware that she has her teeth missing, and she tells a story in her book of how that happened. Harriet Tubman was owned by a Jewish woman. A lot of people don't know that Jewish people, Caucasian Semites, as they're called, owned black people. They enslaved black people. And to sum up in a cliff note of what happened to Harriet, this Jewish woman was upset with her and hit her in the mouth with a chair, a wooden chair. She was only about 11 years old, I believe, 12, and knocked out almost all her teeth. And Harriet never recovered from it because, of course, in the 1800s, black people were not sent ambulances to take them to hospitals because, first of all, they weren't even allowed in hospitals, but also because it was a rural area, you know, and the black women would take care of each other as well as taking care of their Jewish slave masters. But her teeth never came back because they were her permanent teeth, not her children's teeth that, you know, we children lose when they're young.
Yeah, okay.
And she still has that whips. And the other point you made about Selma, a lot of people are not aware that it was a Jewish mayor. Selma had a couple of Jewish mayors.
Hey.
And so the mayor who ordered the dogs on our people and that cracked the head of Congressman, the Honorable Congressman John Lewis, the mayor was a Jewish man. And so, I've read so many books, and I used to be a journalist in San Diego for 30 years. I wrote for 6 newspapers. And I was an avid reader, voracious. My husband used to say, every time I see you, you got a book in your hand. He'd want me to sit down and watch football with him, and if I did, I would always have a book because I didn't like football. But I did read, and I think the people need to know also the book of Genesis articulates the delineation, the line between the Semites. There were African Semites and there were Caucasian Semites.
Hey, Miss Jen, we're running short in time and may continue this conversation another time. I hope you will give your contact information to our engineer and be in touch with you to possibly have some more conversation. Thank you so much.
And okay.
Hold on and we'll get the contact information from our engineer. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and give us a call if you have some thoughts. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Our last caller, Ms. Jen, was sharing some of their thoughts about some of the history and some of the work that they have done, a poet, and also sharing some information from their investigation. And so bringing together some of the thoughts from Ms. Jen, Janet, and Santiago, those three people who have called, among the things that I can weave together is the sense that all together we find ways in which people find ways in which to work together. There are ways in which you are able to do things for because of who you are. Now, whether you are, as was in the case of Harriet Tubman, who was had been enslaved and struggle and fought for her own freedom, and then because of her determination, sought the freedom of other peoples as well, risking their own life to go for multiple time for dangerous trips back to the South to free enslaved people, and that followed for many times. And And a point that an earlier caller made, I believe Santiago, in terms of these were ordinary people. Oftentimes when we think about history, we put on, raise up above our level those who are, we think are honorable. But these were ordinary people on that bridge that day. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Yeah. And we have a call back from Janet. Janet, give us some clarity.
I appreciate your callers and this whole opportunity to weigh in on this and that. And I can really, I just want to weigh in on Miss Jen, what she had to say, because I really appreciate so much what she said about poetry and being a mother, because I've single parents, like four kids, and I'm a great grandmother, and the prophet stuff she talked about is incredible. My great grandson, he's black and Jewish, and he's got a prophet named Micaiah, which is the prophet that stood up to the false prophets and say, okay, enough. And so as much as I appreciate what she's talking about, however, I want to speak out to a stark difference between what it means to be a Jewish person, like my grandfather and grandmother were very, very poor working people who opened the door during the Depression to let everybody in, and then the Zionist Israeli lobbies. So I think when it comes down to people having, like, building up, like, animosity towards Jewish people, I think there's biggest thing when I was teaching interpersonal communication at Oregon State, and we had the roadblocks to communication are stereotyping, generalizing, and having a preconception. So I think that there are so many things to admire about what Miss Jen had to say, and as much as I admire her and I could see where she's coming from, but I think what Santiago was pointing out was the main thing. There's a big difference between some over-the-top narcissistic, entitled Zionist kind of people that are not really what I call Jewish people, or phony baloney black people. So I think the class, she's right about Santiago really speaking correctly about what we need to look at it for humanity's sake. So thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Janet, for calling. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. And before we go to our next caller, a lot of things have been said this morning, and without, you know, careful fact-checking, but also I think a point I want to make is a point that I just heard from Janet in terms of being aware of stereotyping, of stereotyping, and being aware of our language and how we speak about people. Having said that, let's go to Harry. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I'd like to talk about Harriet Tubman and the Selma March. Harriet Tubman, about 2 years ago, the Treasury Department made a half-dollar commemorative coin of Harriet Tubman. And if you go to the U.S. Mint, you can buy it. And then they also put her, the first person, put her on a $5 gold coin. And the gold coin, of course, the price of gold now is quite expensive. So the coin a couple of years ago sold for like $700 or $800. She was a freedom fighter. There's no doubt about that. But in Selma, I was about a few years ago, PBS had a special about the biography of Sammy Davis Jr. And he was speaking, and he was there at Selma. And I was surprised how many other people were there, stars and every you know, musicians, both black and white, were there. And one thing about Selma was he was there. He talked about that because he saw it because he was there. But one thing about Sammy Davis Jr., according to Special, was that a lot of people in Hollywood and California wanted to donate to Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. But of course, they didn't want to be known that it were, so they gave the money to Sammy Davis Jr., who gave it to Martin Luther King.
Okay.
And I was just fascinated about, you know, the Selma march, because it's something that most black people, as old as I am, and you know, in 60s pushing the 70, you know, were taught about the Selma march. So and another thing about women's rights was the first woman on a coin was Susan B. Anthony. They put her on the dollar coin, the small one. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they put Sacagawea, who's on the dollar coin right now.
All right.
So anyway, that's all I have to say. Have a nice day.
You as well. Thank you for the information. And hey, you know, while you were speaking, I looked up for that Harriet Tubman $5 gold coin, and hey, you can purchase it for about $1,100. Oh, here, $1,300. So better buy it soon. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And let's go to our next caller. Tangent, how are you this morning?
I'm well, Brother Cecil. I want her to lighten things up. I have a couple serious things to talk about, but
okay.
Something, I moved in with a buddy, and he taught me that when I used the toilet, I could take a piece of toilet paper and wipe the rim. And I've always done that and since, but I just realized, like, within the last few years, that his mother was a single mom raising three boys.
Okay.
You see what I'm getting at? See, women don't use the toilet that way, and so only men are really making it messy, and so we could do a little bit more.
Okay, now, okay.
All right. I'm sure every woman will appreciate it, and I hope most men. But I want to talk about some terms. Okay, you mentioned freedom fighter. Can we say freedom worker? We have to work for, I don't get it.
Fight for
peace.
What about this term, struggler? I like a worker, freedom worker, but fighter.
Okay,
I think I hear
struggle,
what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Well, work is work, and some is more difficult than others, but struggle implies that, you know, you're always behind, and I would use work. I think we're all very familiar with work. And the other one is truth seekers. And I want to know, are there any truth finders? You know, Christ mentioned seek and find. Seeking is great, but it seems somewhat half empty, if you know what I'm getting at. Oh, and here's just one for you, because I know you're a man of the cloth. I heard about Trump and some others, prayer breakfast. Okay. Well, I always read it was like fasting and prayer. Yeah, not both at the same time. In order to get clear, you fast.
Okay.
I'm thinking that prayer breakfast is more about the food than about the prayer.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, Tangent. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. We began this morning by talking about, okay, Tangent, I heard you. Works for liberation, I can say struggles or fighters for liberation. Among those, Harriet Tubman, who's today we honor, International Women's Day on March 8th, and the 60th anniversary of the Some will march over the bridge. Let's go to our next caller, Tuasi. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about Native American women in history, because we don't hear a lot about them. It's just a lot of indigenous cultures are matriarchal.
Yes.
And we really are face roadblocks in media, publishing, and entertainment throughout history. Mm-hmm. So it's really difficult to find any information on indigenous women outside of just a few people who are kind of cherished and held up, which is but still the modern treatment of indigenous people in media.
Mm.
So anyway, I just wanted to mention Sin Istum. I probably pronounced that wrong. Sin Istum, that she was a Kwaktuk woman, mm-hmm. and an oral traditionalist, that she actually informed a lot of historians, university level educators.
Yeah.
She's the one who taught them.
Wow.
So she was she's known as the last of the Kwaktuks. So, what she went through in her life in the 1800s is almost unimaginable to people in our time, because, besides being put on a forced march, or more likely multiple forced marches, there's just open and rampant racism, which is what's being brought back by a current administration. I just wanted to mention indigenous women in history and how gatekeepers in publishing really, really lock indigenous identity out of existence. If you go and search for indigenous women in history, the number of people who will pop up is relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of very purposeful erasure,
yes.
done in the boardrooms of publishing companies and media outlets. So, the next time you hear an indigenous person on the news or media, you can bet a dollar or a donut that it's going to be one of the people who's been tokenized by the media, and it'll be one of, three or four personalities that are even allowed to enter the media landscape.
Hmm.
So, I get wound up about that, because there's so much that I can't ever learn.
Right, right, right.
Because it was just written out of history.
Right. And you should get wound up about it. We all should. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, we hear about, again, certain people throughout history that are just sort of tokenized and held up.
Right.
But there are all of these, like you've been saying, kind of seems a theme this morning, there are these millions of people who are the background people that are just everyday people that have it within themselves to make the healthy and right choice.
Exactly.
So, as we go along, just remember what your mom taught you. Don't be a horrible person. Try and listen to women. And if you can set aside your biases and actually hear them, which I admire you, your ability to listen to women this morning and give them the space to talk. So anyway, I'll get off the air. Thanks again, and just thank you to my mom and all moms throughout time. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Tuasi. Listen to your mom. Let's go to our next caller. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. I thank you for taking my call. I couldn't have said it better than Tuasi, so I need not try. But I do believe firmly that we cannot move forward unless we move forward together.
Mm.
Our struggles are real. Our struggles are against not just powers and principalities, but really mean people. And until we can see well past the divisions that are described for us, we won't get very far at all. We must move forward together. And clear-eyed, listening to our mothers, alive or dead. And I'm just really sorry that these divisions have been exacerbated, not only exacerbated, but outright created by opportunistic, omnivoric idiots and dangerous, dangerous human beings. I know that, this president had a mother. He has her photograph behind his left shoulder on the desk behind Resolute desk on the right there in all the photographs when you see him in the Oval Office. Mm. And we need to be together more often, and together we will go forward.
Yes.
I thank you so much.
Thank you, Jerry.
And I hope your day goes well.
Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye. Yes, we need to go forward together. When we forward together, backwards never, and only as Jeff reminded us, can we do it if we do it together. To us, before Jeff lifted up indigenous women who are often ignored, we don't see, who are kidnapped, whose voices are not heard. And so thank you for lifting up those voices of indigenous women and women in general, and the need to listen. Thank you all for calling and participating in our conversation this morning, because it's only as we gather together do we get to make change. I am comforted and encouraged by much of what I heard this morning of reviewing, knowing our history, and teaching our history, and sharing the history with one another. We also need to be able to listen to one another, to hear one another, and it is often difficult because sometimes I just want to say you are not speaking truth, but I need to just be quiet and listen and hear them, and then speak. But there's much work to be done, and a lot of work to do. And so not to say that we have to remain in history, because history is useful only as it applies to the future, to the present and to the future. So we learn from history. So we don't remain there, but we are encouraged by those people. And so for the countless number of women, for the countless number of children, for the countless number of workers whose voices are not heard, whose pictures are not seen, whose days, birthdays are not honored, but nevertheless persisted in the good work, in the good struggle, or as the late Congressman John Lewis said, the good fight, and were beaten, who were abused, who nevertheless persisted, who nevertheless said that we must do much more and we must not give up. So look to those folks, look to those people who inspire you. And they are not only people in the history, but actually they are people all around you. Look around you to your neighbor, to the people in your family, and just admire how their fortitude and their strength, and find ways, as we heard this morning, how we can work together. Because if we remain separated or separate, progress will not happen. The struggle is hard and there is much work to do, but nevertheless, inspired by those who went before us, encouraged by those who are struggling with us, and caring for those who are in the future, we press on. And so, dear friends, we are not defeated. we continue pressing on, remaining true to our purpose, true to our call, that we seek a place, a world, where all can live in safety, all can be fed, where war does not exist, and where the earth is treated with respect. You've been listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being good influencers. Stay tuned, and we'll talk with you next time. Good day.
Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website.